Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, big news expected from the Pac-12 tomorrow. They said last week they were going to talk on Thursday and come to a conclusion on whether or not they are going to come back for fall football. Many are speculating that they will. But Kyle Bonagura, one of our favorites, covers the conference with ESPN on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. Give him a follow. He joins us now here on the Daily Ticker. Kyle, good to have you back on with us here in Portland, my man. Thank you for coming on. Just, I'll start with the obvious. What does your gut say, or what is your reporting? What do you think is going to ultimately be announced tomorrow once their phone call, their Zoom meeting, whatever it is, concludes?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is that they're going to announce that football will be back this fall. And I think the question really at this point isn't about, you know, if that's going to happen. It's about when the schedule is going to start. And for that, I really don't have a good sense of what it's going to be. I think there's two clear options here based on reporting that I've done and, you know, others have as well, is that October 31st and November 7th are both in play. I think it's certainly possible that everyone starts on either day. I think it's possible that there's a hybrid between the two, where some schools are ready to go on the earlier date while others decide or told to be ready for November 7th, right? I think for that to be determined one way or the other, it's really going to take some discussion in the room tomorrow, or I guess it's not really a room, on the Zoom meeting tomorrow, Barry 2020, to really kind of figure out where everyone is at and make sure they're on the same page.
Well, it's funny we spend so much time wondering how it affects the playoff, considering the Pac-12 hasn't been in the playoff now in a number of years, but I'm going to ask it anyways. How does this affect the playoff if they end up, I mean, that would give you either a 7-game season or a 6-game season, depending on if you start Halloween or the week after, or maybe some, you know, play 6 and some play 7. Just how does that play into the playoff in your mind when other conferences, at least as of now, are slated and scheduled to play more games than that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really think anyone has a definitive answer yet. The College Football Playoff has maintained for weeks that it's not going to release any defined criteria for eligibility for the playoff until they have to, and they haven't gotten to that point yet. Without knowing how many games the Pac-12 is going to play, without knowing when other conferences are going to end, I still think there's a lot of variables out there that are to be determined. Because, I mean, at the rate that we're seeing postponements and cancellations in other conferences, I think it's really premature to say that the playoff is going to actually take place on the dates that it's currently slated for, right? Because if you start seeing several teams in various conferences across the country with multiple postponements for the next, you know, for the foreseeable future, following the trend that we've seen, you know, the other conferences, the ones that have already started, there's a good chance that they're not going to be able to, you know, wrap up their schedule when they had hoped to, right? And so the hope for the Pac-12 is that, you know, if that continues to be a trend and there continues to be postponements, is that it would allow the Pac-12 to maybe catch up, right? So say they play 7, say they play 8 games, the ending date that might be released tomorrow, or at least, you know, in the next few days. Maybe, you know, as other teams get postponed, eventually the ending dates are a little bit more workable than they are right now.
Yeah. Kyle Bonagura, our guest here, ESPN College Football, Pac-12 getting ready to potentially, as he's saying, announce the fall return of football season. We don't know how many games. We'll have to wait on that. He says potentially a hybrid for teams that are more ready. Could be Halloween. Other teams get a little extra time November 7th. Let me ask you about the Presidents and Larry Scott. It always seems to be probably the conversation about the conference. It's never really much about Oregon or USC or UW. It's mainly like how much we all hate Larry Scott and what's going on in the Pac-12. Do they have good leadership? The presidents on the West Coast versus the presidents and chancellors all throughout the country in these different conferences operate entirely differently. I'm curious if you think the pressure's been kind of brought up a little more than normal with the way that this has all gone down, whether that's from the fan bases, the coaches, the athletic directors, the media, etc. Do you feel like this has kind of been an eye-opening experience for those presidents and chancellors within the Pac-12 of kind of taking another look at the way their conference is operating and the way that the leadership is right now with their commissioner, Larry Scott?
Yes, I don't think it's necessarily anything new. You know, they should have been paying attention. They have been paying attention. It's impossible to understand how Larry Scott operates. He's been in the job for 10 years. I think that the most important variables in Larry Scott's, you know, will is he long for the job equation is that, you know, his contract ends in 2022. It's a fully guaranteed contract. He's making over $5 million a year. So to get rid of him early was a little bit tougher earlier in the deal, right? But now that you're kind of getting closer to the finish, you're not going to have to eat as much of that contract if you were to relieve him early, or if you, you know, at a minimum kind of wind him down and set someone else up for when his contract is up. The other factors is now that you have, you know, 10 years again of data, you can show that the bet on the Pac-12 network wasn't a good one. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear now based on the distribution annually to the various campuses. They missed that. They're about, you know, I believe the original projections were the campuses were expecting to get about $10 million a year from the Pac-12 network's performance, and it has come nowhere near that. I believe it's around $2.5-3 million. I'd have to double check. It's somewhere in that range. So now that all the grand plan didn't really work Pac-12 network wise as far as revenue generation is concerned, I think that's more important, right, than the way that things have been handled with the pandemic, because a lot of these decisions with the pandemic is being set by the presidents, right? So they can't necessarily make the decisions and then blame Larry Scott for them. It's really on them for these, for how it's been handled over the last several months. So I think that it's probably only a matter of time before Larry Scott is out and someone else is in. The conference just needs a reset more than anything, right? There's a lot of issues are out of his hands, you know, too. I think it's just to be fair, right? I think the, you know, just the general interest in Pac-12 football on the West Coast is different than it is in other areas of the country. And, you know, certainly not having teams play at the highest level on a consistent basis, being able to keep the conference in the national conversation, that's a big deal as well. But ultimately, he is the man at the top of the org chart and has a lot to be responsible for.
Yeah, I think a reset would be great. Every Pac-12 fan would love that. If they vote tomorrow night and the green light's good, hey, we're going to start either on, you know, Halloween or November 7th, is everybody ready to practice? Because I've seen, like, Oregon, the governor's given the green light. It's happened in the L.A. area. I'm not sure what's going on in the Bay Area. But just what are you hearing about how close everybody is to ramping up? Because I know that's a big deal for the coaches. They want to get a certain number of weeks in. Are we saying green light Thursday, practice starts Monday for everybody? Where are we at on that?
Yeah, most schools are ready to go whenever, right? The ones that probably have the furthest way to go still are Stanford and Cal, just because the local government ordinances are a little bit different than other places. The cohort rule in California is really weird, where you can't practice with more than 12 people, you know, in a given, you know, pod. I think that I've been given reassurances that both Stanford and Cal don't believe that's going to be an issue that prevents them from practicing. They think they'll be able to get some sort of amendment in time to make it doable. And, you know, that's one of the factors that really could shift Stanford and Cal between October 31st and November 7th, right? If you need a few more days just to get your I's dotted and your T's crossed in order to practice correctly, you know, that's something that's still outstanding. I think pretty much everyone else is ready to go. It's going to be interesting to see if they're really physically where they're at physically, right? Because they haven't with with this kind of unclear ramp up period, a lot of people, not just at, you know, the California schools, a lot of students, you know, weren't on campus like they would have been otherwise. I mean, not everyone has been even working out at the same level that they would have been in a normal year, with the, you know, the expectation that the season wouldn't begin until January, until, you know, just a couple weeks ago or last week, whenever it was.
Yeah. Kyle Bonniger, ESPN, is our guest. College football reporter, does a great job. Covers the Pac-12 as well on Twitter, at Bonniger ESPN. Do we have an idea of the coaches who are pissed about this return and the kind of the subtleness of it, and the coaches who are kind of on board and are, have been more pissed about the other direction of not going and maybe delaying instead of announcing a postponement, delaying a little bit and giving them enough time? Like, do you have an idea of where that falls within the conference with the coaches?
I mean, I have a general sense. Nothing that I would really feel comfortable reporting, because it's, you know, stuff that's kind of on background at this point. But like, there's really no one that's thrilled with the way everything has been handled. I think everyone's been, you know, I think more so than other places, the Pac-12 coaches have kind of allowed the people who should be making these decisions make them, and haven't weighed in on issues that are kind of outside their realm of expertise, which I think is probably a good approach. But at the same time, the lack of communication from the conference office to the campus level, I think more than anything, that is something that has been a source of frustration, because, you know, if you don't know what your options are, it's hard to prepare or communicate to the players and the players' parents, to be frank as well. I think those sort of things that affect your day-to-day job, it makes it difficult. And so I, again, going back to, you know, conference leadership, I think that's something that, you know, is again, frustrating for the coaches.
Yeah, I know there's no chance in hell this happens, but I'm going to ask it anyways. It feels like if there's any year to experiment with an expanded playoff, it would be this year, because you don't know how many games teams are going to play. You don't know when the seasons are going to be wrapped up, when the conference championships are going to happen. Like, it is an absolute cluster out there. Is there any chance that they get to the end of the year and they say, hey, man, everybody's like 5-2. Nobody played a non-conference slate of anybody, of anything meaningful. Like, how do we decide a playoff? Let's expand it to 8 teams.
I mean, I would be completely for that. I'm for an expanded playoff, you know, every year. I don't think four is enough. I think there should be automatic bids for the Power Five schools every year, because it's just weird to have a selection of four teams. I mean, I like it better than the old system, but I think it's clearly needs to get to 8. And, you know, you can't rule it out, I guess, because it's 2020 and you can't rule anything out. But yeah, that would be a good equalizer, right? Because it would make it a good way to level the playing field with conferences that have schedules that are much different. And you can't trying to set even criteria for teams that you know, there's no realistic way to do that. I mean, automatic bids would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Kyle, let me get you out here on this one, man. Notre Dame's game postponed. UCF or USF has to kind of shut down their program for the time being, going back to contact tracing and whatnot. Not the greatest of starts for college football for the teams that have decided to give it a go. What's the percentage chance to you that that meeting concludes tomorrow and they announce that they're not going to start in the fall?
I would be completely shocked if that was the case. I think, no, yeah, I would put that in the single digit percentage. I mean, you can't rule it out again, but I do believe that the Pac-12 is full steam ahead with trying to figure out how they're going to play this fall, and anything beyond that isn't really being discussed right now.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Kyle Bonniger, ESPN, college football reporter, also covers the Pac-12 as well on Twitter, at Bonniger ESPN. Kyle, we always appreciate how gracious you are with your time, so thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man, and I'm sure we'll talk very soon once football season gets going.
Sounds good. Those conversations will be a lot more fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.